Hello, everyone, and welcome back to episode 25 of the 5-Minute Major podcast of STL. Today, we'll be picking up on the player report cards, the rest of the starting defense. We'll also be covering some news around the league and some more trade rumors as this team is going into the Four Nations. We're going to break down the Blues, and hopefully we can hit the reset button coming out of the Four Nations break. But how you doing, Mikey?
I am feeling great. That's good.
All right. That's good.
Blues beat the Blackhawks. That was kind of like our Stanley Cup game last night. That's always good. But I don't know. It's just a whirlwind. You know, we just spent like 20 minutes talking about what we need to do to make the team better, and it can just go on and on and on. So we'll see what happens. I'm excited to talk about some other things. Four Nations is going to be cool, I think. I don't know if I think it should stay, but it's going to be cool. That's it.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like Four Nations, we got Olympics coming up, players are going to be back there. I really think you have to go back to the old roots of the All-Star competition where it's just two teams versus each other.
Yeah.
Or you have just two teams and everyone can get drafted and it doesn't matter what division or conference you're from. I think that would be cool. But that being said, we'll hop right into some hockey news. Starting with Zach Bolduc getting sent down to the AHL, which everyone is probably freaking out. Oh my gosh, what has happened? It's for the Four Nations break. We just want to keep him playing. And personally, I think he needs to go back down and refine some of his skills because to me, it's kind of been sloppy lately. And I know this is the hot button topic. Everyone's like, play him on the first line. He is not ready to be a first line player whatsoever right now.
Yeah, I agree. Every time I watch him, I feel like he's fumbling. Which is fine. You're still young and you're really not a superstar player. So it's like, go down there, figure it out, play with Dvorsky and Stenberg. And those guys are kind of buzzing around right now. Like the AHL's stacked. So go have fun for four games, maybe learn a little bit more leadership, settle yourself down. You know, you don't really, I think he has too much pressure on him from fans, from coaching. I think he needs to like, just play on third line and bump some bodies and throw the puck on net. And if it goes in, it goes in. He simplify it. He's
much
overthinking.
Like everyone. Everyone on this team. Overthinking is the theme of this team.
Robert Thomas could have 6 extra goals this year. He's nearly a point per game player. He could have almost 50 points if he just would learn to settle down a little bit, you know? But I mean, other than that, like I'd say personally that the players on this team are kind of doing all right, like besides a couple, just can't string a team game together whatsoever.
Yeah.
It's kind of all over the place. We'll get into it later.
Next up, Drew Doughty, though, named to Team Canada as the replacement for Alexander Pietrangelo, dealing with some injuries. I think he's more just didn't want to play, and I think he's just prepping for the Stanley Cup run.
But, I love Petra so much.
Yeah. He also got annihilated the other night, just wrecked. And like, part of me is like, I love Pietrangelo, but also like, you left our team. I don't really feel bad for you. I know it's a hot button topic, but good riddance, my guy.
I mean, a lot of the Canadians were like, that's what you get for not representing your country. It's like, maybe he doesn't want to waste 2 weeks playing and possibly getting hurt in like a nothing tournament. Like it really doesn't matter who wins this at all. It's just bragging, right?
Shesterkin, love him for it. He's out for another 1 to 2 weeks.
It's every other week.
Is it that he's really hurt? Is he just tired of New York? He got that paycheck now and now he's like, all right, well, what are we doing? Did JT Miller punch him and now he's injured? I don't know. These are the questions that I have in that locker room.
That would be insane. That's something that team needs. They need to wake up. Like, they're still pretty good. I don't know why they're playing so poorly. And they have caught up a little bit, but they're still not in the race yet. They're still, like, 7 points out. It's like, they're where we are. You got to start picking it up now or it's over. And they have the superstar talent to, like, catch up, especially with Shesterkin. But not well. Then they have Quick to back up. It's like
which Quick is a madman still. Okay, yeah, he's like
he's good.
Marc-Andre Fleury 2.0. The man just keeps going.
Yeah, he's good.
Quinn Hughes still injured, uncertain for the Four Nations. If I'm Quinn Hughes, I think he needs to sit and not play the Four Nations. He needs to heal up. Vancouver needs him desperately. And Vancouver, I don't truly know what's going to happen over there. I think Pedersen's off the block, but maybe going back on the block. They also talked about Quinn Hughes potentially hitting the block.
What are we doing?
Yeah, like, I'm very confused in Vancouver. Are you retooling, rebuilding, tearing it down, riding it out? You were a really good team last year. JT Miller apparently destroyed your locker room. People are in chaos in that locker room, it sounds like. I'm very interested to see what this Vancouver team does.
Sounds like the opposite of what a hockey team should be. Like, they're so sporadic and, like, emotional.
Sounds like the Blues. Sounds like the Blues right there.
It's not good. And they're still in a wild card spot because they have 11 overtime losses, everybody. 11. That's 3 points for losing. So,
man, I'd take some of those 3 points right now. I would take some.
We haven't been bad in OT or shootout. No. That's the issue. It's regulation.
Yeah, well, that's a struggle in itself.
We always find a way to come back to how bad we've
been. Oh, man. Another familiar name, though, Tarasenko is a potential trade target for a team making a playoff push. Or the Blues. Heck, why not? Put the band back together. Let's bring the 2019 Stanley Cup team. Steen, I know you're trying to be the GM. Lace them up, guy. We could use you right now.
Yeah, it would be so good to have in the locker room.
Oh, my gosh. That's the thing that, like, I don't think we've realized how good of a foundation leadership group we've had for so many years in a Blues organization. Because you go back to David Backes, you had Steen, then you handed it to Pietrangelo. Like, you had a lot of guys that were the stabilizing factors. And then the veterans you brought in were still vocal guys that were listened to. That was the thing that Doug has always been good. Like, you brought in Jamie Langenbrenner, Jason Arnott. Like, you had guys that have done it when you were a middle-tier team that could come in and do it. And I think we strayed away from that in the recent years. We went younger. We traded away. Like, you traded away all of the foundational guys in the locker room and expected the youth to be there. And I think they thought Thomas was going to be that guy in a way. But I think Shen is a vocal guy in that locker room. But I think you're dealing with a youth leadership movement, and that can be a struggle, and we're seeing that right now.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, Mikey, you want to run the 3-game homestand and what happened?
Yeah, sure. So these were the last games before the break, and then we'll pick it back up on like the 22nd of February, so we got some time away. Yep. Probably a good thing.
Yeah.
All right, first game in the past week-ish, Edmonton came to town. And when Edmonton comes to town, McDavid scores goals. We ended up losing 3-2 in overtime, so there's our overtime loss point that we needed. First goal of the game was a power play goal from McDavid, assisted by Bouchard and Draisaitl. Started it off early there. And then the third period was madness. We tied it up with a power play goal from Kyrou, and then Colton scored to take the lead, assisted by Thomas and Bouch. So Colton keeps extending that career high in goals. He's been great this year. And then Edmonton scored with, like, what, was a minute left?
Yeah, it was not
or
much
was
left.
It 11 seconds? Was it the 11-second one, or was that Florida? No,
that was Florida. We lost with 11 seconds. This one, we had a little bit of time that we just couldn't finish the game out yet again, but that's story of the season.
We went to overtime, and Connor Brown scored on a goal assisted by McDavid. It was a nice play. I don't think you could do anything about it, you know?
Yeah, the only thing I will say, the drama around Thomas kind of acting emotional about Parayko dumping the puck in and not trying to keep him on the ice. In that regard, like, there was probably a missed call in overtime. Don't throw your arms up. Don't, like, it happens. Like, you're still in the game. Like, I will never understand. I get the frustration. I get it. And Thomas has been snake bit, and it's just been an emotional roller coaster. You want to be a leader. If you're a leader, get back up. Don't throw your arms up. Go get the puck back, and let's go keep playing. And yeah, that was the frustrating part.
Yeah. I'm not even mad at him for being animated. I think the dumping was a bad play. I think we should have tried to keep possession. Just turn around and go back to your net, you know?
Yeah.
Then that probably wouldn't even be an argument. But it was a blatant miscall. Like, clear day. Ref was looking right at it. So I'm not mad at him for being animated. You know, the effort needs to stay while you're on the ice, no matter what. Something that can be worked on for sure. Brutal loss. Again, brutal loss. Team you should have beat, a better team, and you end up blowing it. All right. So we went from the runner-up to the Cup champion. Florida came to town 2 days later. We ended up losing this one as well, 3-2, as many of you know. First period was bonkers again. 3 goals scored. Bull Duke, great goal. Assisted by Suter and Torpchenko, just crashes the net. Dirty rebound goal. That's what you got to do. Simplify your game. Florida came in. Samuskevich scored, assisted by Bennett and Tkachuk. And then Tkachuk ended up scoring, assisted by Ekblad and Barkov. And Tkachuk had such a good game, dude. He looks so good every time he comes to St. Louis.
Yeah, it's just you could have had him, and it just burns every single time.
Wait till Brady comes back. It'll be a massacre. I want to point out that Neighbors dropped the gloves with Bennett off the opening draw. That was awesome.
Yep.
You know, set the tone. Yep. We ended up scoring first, so good for him. A little payback for the nasty hit that he had in the boards, like in Florida. Yep. They kind of like did a little tummy sticks later on in the game where they're both out of the box. And I was like, that's kind of stupid. I say you just stay mad at him. But anyways, second period rolls around. Power play goal by Sundqvist. So all the sunny power play haters. Hello. Nice still goal there. Nice goal there on a tip in, I believe, from a shot from the point. So Bull Duke gets an assist, and he has 2 points in this game. So that's good for him. And then the third period happened. It was tied. It was a tight game. Tkachuk ended up scoring in the middle of the ice. You need to clear it out. You need to make a save, blah, blah, blah. Assisted by Reinhardt and Barkov. It was just like, those heartbreakers, man. Like
Reinhardt took a shot. It was blocked by Fowler, and it was just the perfect bounce off Fowler, and then Tkachuk just buried it.
Yeah, it's a little bit of puck luck, but it's also can't let it. I don't know. Like, you got to say that you can't let it happen. It's one of those weird ones. Too late in the game for puck luck.
Yeah.
Too late in the game. And
we're unable to finish games out. Like, we just cannot.
Well, Florida plays the most frustrating type of hockey. They're constantly bodying you and wearing you down. Yeah. Sounds familiar from a few years ago. And they just burn you. When one little thing happens, it goes their way. You know, when you're playing physical, tight hockey, usually you get the puck luck.
Yeah.
You can't play too loose sometimes, and that's what we do, and it happens. But just another, like, game overall, good game. You're competing against the former Cup champions, and you just can't finish out 10 seconds. And there it is.
That's how it goes.
All right. And then yesterday's game, which was bonkers. I don't even know what happened. It was wild. It was
the most emotional roller coaster of a game I think I've ever been in attendance for. And I shout out. So here's the crazy part is. So Swain and I were at that game. So we're losing in the first period. Swain runs to go get us some drinks and go to the bathroom. We score the first goal to come back. Then we score another goal 10 seconds later. Okay, so Swain is now not present for 2 goals. Then later in the game, she leaves again, and we score again. So, like, Swain had this conspiracy here going that, and everyone in our row, every time she left, we scored a goal. So shootout comes around when we'll talk about this. She leaves like 3 shots left in the shootout to go stand in the concourse and just pace. And we end up winning. So thank you, Swain, for the little superstition that helped us win this game. Good Lord. Yeah, I would not have been able to deal with the Blackhawk fans walking out of that game.
They're always the worst, aren't they? Even when they are the worst.
Oh, yeah.
All right, this was Suter's 1,500th game. He's the third U.S. born player to do it, I believe. And he's the, like, the 22nd or 23rd to do it just overall. So, legend, dude. Just to play that long is amazing. He had a nice 3-minute answer to that question in the locker room before the game. He was like, I always joke with the young boys, you know, it's mental. If you're sick, you're not. If you're hurt, you're not. You know, so I loved that.
Yeah.
I wish maybe he needs to be more vocal in the locker room.
I think if you can bring him back, you bring him back.
I agree. And we'll talk about his report card later on. So first period, let's go through the goal. Chicago goes up 2-0 from a goal from Smith, assisted by Patty Maroon, and then Donato from Bedard. In the second period, we scored 2 in 10 seconds. Broberg from Joseph and Shen. Walker unassisted, which was nice goal in the slot. Direct, just being direct. Mm-hmm. Now we ended up taking the lead on another nice goal in the slot. Joseph assisted by Shen again. And then Holloway. So we're up going into the third. And then the third happened. Martinez scored. And then Fowler scored. And then Teravainen and Mikheyev scored. And Mikheyev's goal was nasty. Burnt Falk. Yeah. Beat Benny. Just nasty. Benny had a bad game. And then we scored to tie it on a little tap in from Thomas. Finally puts one in. And we're going into OT. OT was 0 goals, obviously. We went to a shootout. Had some chances. I'd say Kyrou. Yeah. Kyrou had a great chance. He wasn't skating hard enough for him to tap in his rebound. He could have had a free rebound goal there. And I needed him to hit that because I had a bet down. so my bet didn't hit because of him. And then we went to the shootout, and it went 10 rounds. Foxa ended up scoring a nice forehand backhand winner, and that's the game. Benny made one final save, and even though Benny had a probably really overall bad game, he stood up.
It's great in the shootout.
Stood on his head in the shootout, and that's all you need, I guess. We got 2 points.
Yeah, Tyler Bertuzzi didn't even get a shot off in the final shot for Chicago.
I was thinking that. I was watching. I'm like, he doesn't.
He mishandled the puck.
Yeah,
and completely just bobbled it.
I think.
Yeah,
it looked so intentional to me. I was like,
it was bad.
So yeah, the Blues get out of the 3-game homestand with 3 points. Trying to make playoffs, that's not what you need to do. You know, you got to win every game, as we've been saying for weeks now. What is it, the third or fourth week? We're like, every game's a big game.
We're a broken record at this point.
Yeah. That's why I feel bad getting on here, because I'm like, we keep talking about the same stuff, but you have to keep talking about it or else you forget. You know, we're in a retool, guys. We've said it a million times. And we've also said, Army said we should be competitive, and now we're not. So it's time to, like, have a reality check. The win was beating Chicago. That's what you got to do. You can't let Chicago come to St. Louis and win ever again, especially right now when they're so bad. Yeah, but just overall, bad week again. I'd say Thomas is finally getting back into his groove a little bit. I think that goal is going to help him out. I think he'll be better with hitting the net finally. That was the only kind of gripe we had with him. And then other than that, same old, same old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And some things never change. I will say, and we talked about this before, you know, we've seen Macklin Celebrini play multiple times this year, and you notice him on the ice. He is a game changer. Bedard, to me, is just not that guy right now. And I don't know what is happening, because I think he got comparison. He was going to be the next Sidney Crosby. I'm sorry. I am struggling to see that right now, and maybe it's just the sophomore slump, but to me, like, it's exciting watching Macklin Celebrini, and he just has this essence of his game, and Bedard is just non-existent in moments when you need him to show up. And yes,
it feels that way.
He had some points in this game, but it was nothing that I was like, wow, I'm watching Connor Bedard play. Like, it just isn't there for me right now, and I don't know, maybe it's just because I'm a Blues fan and I'm not a big Blackhawks guy, But I just think there's a lot of other young talent right now that I would be more excited to watch. And I think this is the clear reason why Bedard wasn't picked to play on the Four Nations team right now. Like, he's just not that guy.
He knows that, too. He mentioned that. He said, yeah. Wow, it's a really telltale sign I need to get better, which is good. So he knows that he can be better. I mean, he's got 49 points in 55 games, so it's not like he's not playing great. Just, I agree that he doesn't seem to be that dynamic takeover games player right now. He's just getting his points. How can you be, dude? Like, he's playing with a bunch of 35-year-olds, washed up. Like, they can't skate like him. They can't shoot like him. They don't see the ice like him.
That's true.
Celebrini, he's had Granlund. He's had Will Smith. He's had, you know, a couple others that are younger and kind of understand. So, I don't know. You try to give him the benefit of the doubt. I'm looking at he's playing 20 minutes a night. He's only winning 35% of his faceoffs. Why is he still playing center?
Dude, he's a career minus 66.
That's the Blackhawks for you.
Okay, but like, come on.
Dude, like, they're awful.
San Jose's awful too.
Dude, look at Kyrou and Shen like a year or two ago. Hello? They were in the running for the Masters. Remember the... Shen was a minus 27 and then a minus 22 back-to-back years and still put up 65 and 46.
All right, I rest my case.
Yeah.
Celebrini is a minus 20 right now.
See?
Okay. All right. All
right. Yeah. So plus minus is a joke anyway.
Yeah, you're right.
But we're going to use it to our advantage in these report cards.
Oh, heck yeah.
It matters in the report cards.
All right. I will do the first two. Or I'll do the first one and the third one. I'll let you do the second and the fourth, okay?
Okay. Yeah, that's good.
All right. Philip Broberg, our guy that I think the Blues are planning to build around for the future, we're going to start off by giving him a B. You know, I think if he would have kept up on the pace that he did pre-injury in the beginning of the season, I think we probably would be saying like A-plus right now. But I think B, he's been... Everything is advertised as a young defenseman. He's still young, but he's doing a lot for this team. So he's played 43 games, 4 goals, 13 assists. He's a plus 5, and then he's averaging 20 minutes of ice time. So he's doing everything for you right now. I think he's only going to get better. He is a superstar in the making, in my opinion. I'm very happy giving him a B.
It's a good analysis. He really did slow down after the injury. It's a shame that happened, man. Just a weird play. He had a great game against the Blackhawks, goal and assist. He's still plus 5. He's playing over 20 minutes a night, so he's kind of coming into his own. Defensemen really aren't supposed to be point per game players unless you're like Prime Erik Karlsson or something, right? Who's basically a forward. Yeah, Cale Makar. They're basically forwards. He's been great. I really don't notice him making many mistakes. When he does, it's nothing crazy, you know? So good for him.
Good skating. That's the thing. Amazing. I think his skating's been great, but I think it's slowed down a little bit since that injury. And I think it's more, I don't want to get re-hurt. And that's understandable. And you won't realize how important your legs and your knees are until you hurt it and then you're having to come back from it, which he came back a lot quicker than I think we all thought he would. So who knows? He still may be playing a little banged up. Everyone does, but look for him to only get better towards the second half of the season and then into next year. It's going to be great.
Yeah. Next year, it'll be his contract year. Mm-hmm. I expect him to be flying around to try and get as much money as he can from the Blues, because no matter what, we should probably extend him for a while. Yeah. All right, our next best friend on the defensive end, we've had him for years and years and years, Justin Falk. Let me say his stats first. 52 games, he's got 2 goals, 17 assists, he's a minus 15. He's playing 22 and a half minutes a night. Scoring defenseman, not scoring. Very slow compared to past years. I mean, he's getting older. We gave him a D+. He's been brutal, to say the least. It's one of the defensemen where we truly find ourselves mentioning his name a lot more than the others. And when you're being noticed on the ice, that usually means you're doing something bad or good. But for him, it's the bad in this case. And he got burnt last game. He just doesn't have the edge work. He's still physical. He's still pretty positionally sound. He's just not scoring or contributing other than being there, you know.
For how much we're paying him and for being the so-called play, like the quarterback of the power play, like power play's been awful this year. And I think a lot of that has to do with not having a guy at the point that can quarterback a power play. So I'm sorry, that also plays into this too.
You know, I agree. Very underwhelming year point-wise. Very underwhelming with a minus 15. I think it's got to be the worst on the team.
Yeah.
Playing that many minutes a night, it just feels like he's playing because he makes the money, which is not good. If we're being honest, he's got to go. He's got to get traded. We got to try and release that cap hit of 6.5 for the next couple years and either get an unproven prospect or pick or send him with a pick to see if we can get more.
I think
we'll see. We'll
if you just get a clean cut where you can don't get really much in return and you just get the $6.5 million back, I'm perfectly happy because $6.5 million you can get something for.
Lock
up some of these other guys. Which that being said, I know we've talked about locking everyone up. I think we're learning. Maybe you need to push them to their contract year before you lock them up. But we'll see.
Yeah.
I think Falk is just ever since he came here, I think he had those really good seasons in the very beginning with us, right when he got here. And we were like, holy cow, we got a solid player, which I guess we got him back in
1920.
Yep, 1920.
Oh, 2019. I thought you meant the year 1920.
Yeah, you know.
I'm like, with a wow.
So, I mean, this is his sixth season with us. His best season was the 21-22 season. He was a plus 41, 16 goals, 31 assists in 76 games, and played 23 minutes a night.
Plus 41 is disgusting.
Yeah, the year before that, he was a plus 11. Mm-hmm. But it has just progressively gone downhill since then.
Yes, unfortunately. I mean, the age is a factor. The injuries are a factor.
I mean, he had decent assists in the 22-23 season, but then 23-24, he only had 28. Goal scoring dropped substantially. And then
he hasn't been scoring the goals. And that's a true telltale.
And injuries. He's got frequent injuries now.
Which sucks because, I don't know. Anyways, yeah, a D plus for Falk. He's one of those players who should be on the trade block, and you just try and get what you can for him.
Yeah. All right, jumping into our next guy, though. So this is going to kind of – we have two more guys that will finish up our D group. I don't think we're really going to give Letty a score or a rating this season so far until he hits at least 10 games played. Tyler Tucker, though, he's played 19 games this year with us, 2 goals, 2 assists, plus 1, averaging almost 13 minutes a night on ice, has brought the grit, the fighting, I think some tenacity back to that blue line. We gave him a C+. I mean, he's done what you've needed him to do. He was playing really great in the AHL, and he took it and went to the AHL in the beginning of the season. I think he was a little frustrated, but he also realized, all right, cool, I'm going to go down, I'm going to play, and I'm going to support these guys. Had a great time in the AHL, was a fantastic leader from what I've heard, and came back up here, and he seized his opportunity, and he wasn't going to give it back. He basically pushed Kessel out of a spot, and until his injury, I don't think he was going to be that guy coming out, and I personally think if he would have been in the lineup still not injured, Justin Falk is the guy that's sitting. So,
yeah,
Tyler Tucker, C+. I'm happy with that. You know, I think he has proven that he is a versatile and 6'7" defenseman for you. And I think he's going to come back, and I don't think you're going to have to pay him too much. So, saving some decent money on an average defenseman that is serviceable, and that's good.
Agreed. Yeah. Good physical player. He hasn't done anything too wrong, in my opinion. He's playing little minutes and contributing the best he can.
And not really messing up in that time frame. No errors.
The maturity level went up so much
the past couple seasons.
Yeah. I think the leadership role he kind of took on in Springfield translated over, and now he's ready to possibly be one of your everyday third pairs.
Also, it helps when you're playing minutes with Suter. I think he probably is soaking up everything from Suter, which is awesome.
Yeah, Suter. Well, I'll get into him right now, actually. He's been really solid for being 40 years old. Let's not forget, everybody, at the beginning of the year, he played two or three games over 30 minutes at 39. He filled in very nicely for what we were dealing with. He's played 56 games. He's got a goal and 9 assists. He's a plus 4. He's still averaging over 20 minutes a night. So, I mean, he's not playing recently, but he's still averaging over 20 minutes a night. Josh and I love him. Yeah, we think he's perfect for locker room. Even if he was a healthy scratch and we were a better hockey team, he's the perfect player to have in the locker room. A- is our grade for him.
Yeah.
And we might get some backlash. People hyper focus on things when it comes to players like Suter. They might think he turns the puck over. He just kind of slaps it around and does nothing purposeful. Tell me, the negative things about his game, man. Nothing. He's constantly in the right spot. He doesn't overexert his energy in the right and the wrong places. Lays the body, makes the simple plays. He's a smart hockey player. That's why you're frustrated with him, because he doesn't do anything big. He's just constantly passing to Parayko or to the other defenseman so they can make the plays.
Yeah. He's smart. It's one of those things that, him and Fowler are in that group that they've been in the league forever. Mm-hmm. They never look tired. They are all about the mindset, and they're just stability.
Yeah.
And that's hard to find in the modern day hockey players. And that's no just punch against, these players were built different. There's a reason they've played so many games. There's a reason Suter has played 1500 games in the league. Would I have loved him about 5 years ago? Yes. Would I have loved him 10 years ago? Yes. Because I think he would have solved so many issues, and we probably would have won another cup at that point. But that being said, I think an A- is great for him. I think we had talked maybe we were going to go higher on him, but he's done everything and more for a guy you signed late in the offseason on a 1-year deal full of incentives, and he has just been everything and more.
Yep. We will post our report card graphics throughout the week.
Yep.
Might see some. I just wanted to throw this in there before we get into the Shen talk. I'm trying to do my best to make it more flashy on the YouTube side with you guys might have saw the little banner on the bottom of our video. I might try and do an old ESPN timeline thing on the side where it tells you the topic, so I don't know. You'll see. Well, I'm gonna try. I have a little bit of time today. We'll see what I come up with. If not, it's just gonna be normal. All right, let's get into Braden Schenn. Last thing we're gonna talk about today. Supposedly, Dreger mentioned that the Maple Leafs are interested, which they've been interested for a couple years now.
For someone of the Blues every year, going back for the last 4 to 5 years.
Yeah, they really like us. They took our coach, so it's about time they start taking our players, but we need some of their players back. It makes sense. They really need another gritty center, and they really just need it in general. You go to the bottom six of their team and you're they have so much superstar talent that they keep getting by and playing well, but they've kind of been in a little stagnant period this year after starting so good. I'll let you get into it. I I just don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
So I'll let you talk about, you know, possibilities and considerations.
Yeah. So, you know, this is leading up to this. First off, I will go down the trajectory of the Blues and Toronto trade rumors. So this year it's Shen. Last year, I think it was Binnington. The year before that was Parayko. And the year before that, they were taking Doug Armstrong to be their GM. So let's just, how many of those have come true? None. Okay, cool. So Shen, you're saying he's going to get traded. And they said what the asking price from the Blues would be a mammoth haul. I think the rumors and what people have talked about, if you're giving up Braden Shen, we're not eating his contract. I'm sorry. If we are, the price is going to go up. And the starting price right now, in my opinion, is Matthew Knives for Braden Shen. If that is the one-for-one deal, we are willing to do that. If he's not on there, then it's Shen for a Robertson first-round pick and more, or a Shen for draft picks and top-end prospects, or Shen for the guy that I don't think this will happen, but it would help the Blues, Shen for Morgan Riley. So I think the most realistic one that I've heard out there and kind of read up on would be a Shen for Matthew Knives. Matthew Knives, winger, young, fits in the age group of your core. And a lot of people saying Shen's not going to be here for the time in which we're going to be competitive. My disagreement with this all is that you trade Shen, who's your captain, who's the voice in the locker room, and who's the guy that's instilling the culture. Thomas, in my opinion, is not your captain. Parayko is the silent giant, is a great assistant captain. Jake Neighbors is only 22. He can't be named your captain. You're in a point where you're trying to get rid of Justin Falk, and I don't think he's the guy that you would want to name your captain. So you really don't have a guy that can be the captain right now. Or you trade your captain and you just don't have a captain, which I don't agree with teams that do that. So I'm going to say this deal is not going to happen. If it does, I will full-fledged own it. But I, in my opinion, this deal can't happen because at that point, you are taking out the core pillar of your foundation of a team and franchise. And I love Braden Shen, and yes, he had a down season the year before, but this year he's been everything and more than advertised. He is the heart and soul of that locker room, and he has not been thanked enough. Like, even with the bad stuff, he just is like, yes, we're not playing good enough. And I get people are like, well, he keeps saying it and nothing changes. He goes out there every night and lays his body on the line for this team. Toronto would love him. I think it would get them over the bump. They probably would go deep into the playoffs. He probably would help them win a Stanley Cup. But dealing players with term, which the Blues have, is Falk, Shen, Buchnevich, is very hard in today's game. Yes, the cap is going up and they can probably finagle it a little bit and they're looking for a guy that can replace Tavares. But I don't know. I think it would be a grave mistake, but I also understand you're trying to do a locker room shakeup. And if you're trading Shen, you better get someone that's coming back that can help you, and you better have a guy in mind this offseason that can come in and be the voice of reason in your locker room, because right now you don't have that.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't agree with you more, buddy. I would be more devastated than when we fumbled the numerous players we fumbled recently. You know, I think trading your captain is just so weird to me. We've done it a lot. Yeah. It seems like more than others. And Braden Shen has been like almost a banner in the rafters type player. Like almost. Probably not. But he's been amazing. And he's constantly talking about what they need to do, and he's trying his best, man. Like, he laid nearly 10 hits two games ago. He laid like 6 or 7 last game. It's like, he's old and he's doing this still. He's contributing on the offensive end as well this year after a down year, playing with Holloway and Kyrou most of the year. And I just can't see it happening. You also can't lose a center right now. No. You just can't. And Knies isn't a center. I mean, Robertson is, but he is not nearly the player Shen is.
Which, I mean, Knives is a stud. Don't get me wrong.
Oh,
I think
yeah.
He would be phenomenal for your top six.
He's basically Neighbors.
Yeah. Neighbors and
scores
bigger.
More.
Yeah, scores more and is a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
But yeah. I just, you go back to the Blues and the trajectory of our captains I just pulled up here. So you have Braden Schenn, who's your current captain. If you trade him, okay, you're trading another captain. You traded Ryan O'Reilly away. You couldn't re-sign Alex Pietrangelo. You couldn't re-sign David Backes. You traded Eric Brewer away. And then that takes you back to Dallas Drake and then Al MacInnis and Chris Pronger. So, like,
right.
Which in that mix, like, Dallas Drake, I think, left. Al MacInnis was only a captain for a short period of time. Chris Pronger, you traded away. You had Wayne Gretzky when he got traded here for a short period of time. And it's just like, it's a hard spot to be in. And I don't think we're at a point where you trade your leadership away.
No.
I think you need to add more vocal leadership. And I don't think Falk is a vocal leader in your locker room. I love Colton Parayko, but he's a very quiet guy. And you almost need, like, I hate it, and I know JT Miller is a terrible person in a lot of ways to the locker rooms of what people say, but like a JT Miller-esque player or a guy that's going to punch you in the mouth in practice because you're playing crappy. Like, so it's one of
those
things.
That's who I had in mind.
You need an old school kind of player and captain. And I think Jake Neighbors will be that guy down the road, but he's only 22, and I don't think it's fair to put him as a captain at this point. It's like when Chicago named Jonathan Toews their captain. He was too young to be named a captain, and all the issues happened in that locker room that we know about. And to his defense, he was a kid still.
Yeah.
And that's like not to say the Blues are going to have substantial issues in their locker room, but you can't hand it over to a kid sometimes. It just doesn't work that way.
Yeah. It only worked a couple times.
Yeah.
And the couple of times it did, it was because they were literally top five players all time.
Yeah.
So, I agree, buddy. We'll see. I think Braden Schenn is so overhated.
Yeah.
I see people hating on him all the time. I'm like, what are you even doing?
Yeah.
You're just talking because you can. Hate on somebody else who's been bad. And who's going to get paid a lot more money for a lot more time? We can deal with the Schenn contract.
Yeah. 6.5 million right now is going to be a bargain with it. It's going to be less than 5% cap hit.
Yeah. Yeah. And he still contributes, man.
Yeah.
Before we end this thing, a little short episode, I want to talk about Buchnevich too. We didn't take notes on this. He's still acquiring points.
Yeah.
Somehow. It has to do with playing with Robert Thomas, and when you touch the puck, Thomas makes the play. You get a secondary assist. 34 points in 54 games. When you watch him play the game, he is just... It almost looks hard to be that out of sync.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's a great hockey player. He had a career couple years here. He's a little bit on a down year. He's going to get paid a lot of money for the next whatever until he's really old.
Yeah, he'll get paid till 2031, I believe.
So, 6 years at an $8 million cap hit, and he's turning 30. This year, I think this will either go down as, okay, I'm glad we kept him, good, nice, you know, Russian hockey player that can play a lot of minutes, or it's going to go down as one of the worst contracts that Armstrong has ever signed. And I'm leaning towards worse right now because he's playing like he doesn't want to make $8 million a year.
You have three of the worst NHL contracts, according to a lot of people on our roster right now. One of being Torey Krug, which, don't get me started, I will fight people on that one. Justin Falk, I'm agreeing with, and Pavel Buchnevich.
Yeah. So Luckily, the defenseman contracts are probably gonna be gone soon.
Yeah.
The Bushi one, it might be an issue. We'll see. We'll see if he picks it up. I have hopes for him. He has had three fantastic hockey years here. It's just a down year. Him playing center for the beginning of the year probably screwed him up. He's got to pick it up, though, 100%.
Yeah.
All right. I will do all the report card graphics after this episode comes out, Mr. Josh.
Sounds good.
Everybody, thanks for listening. We appreciate the patience during this rough Blues time. Go watch Four Nations, root on the USA or wherever you're from. And yeah.
And if you're looking for Blues people to follow, Canada is going to be well represented by your Blues. Colton Preko, Jordan Bennington, Doug Armstrong, David Alexander, and then I forget our video coach is also going to be there as well. So Canada getting a lot of the Blues organization in there. But as always, thank you again, guys. Please spread the word on the 5-Minute Major Podcast of St. Louis. And Mikey, as always, love doing this with you, buddy. See ya.
Love you, buddy. Let's go Blues. Let's go Blues.